Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skill, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Our show today is sponsored by The Coop. The Coop is located in the South Bay area of Los Angeles. It's the newest and coolest play and party space for kids and adults. Kids will play for hours in their enormous ball pit, two-story curly slide, super cool rope climbing tunnel, and fantastic bouncer. So book your next party at The Coop, and that's with two O's, today. You can contact them at 310-374-2667 or on the web at thecoop with two O's, southbay.com. Are you a single mom? Are you a single mom having your own share of challenges? Well, then join our new meetup tribe. It's in the Los Angeles area, and it's called the Best Single Moms of LA South Bay Tribe. It's a tribe of moms who are powered by learning, support, and growing for themselves, children, and their family. You will also find the link to our meetup group at the bottom of our show notes. So now on to our show. Our guest today is a traditionally based clinician, an alternative therapist, an author, and marriage family therapist for over 25 years. She's also an international speaker and trainer of therapists in over 7 countries, and I love her vision for this world. It is a world free from abuse with a mission to build a global platform of healers that make change possible. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to welcome Christine Alisa. Hi, Christine.
Oh, hi, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I love what you do. Christine and I have been friends for a couple of years now. We met at a workshop, and she's helped me tremendously and is so inspiring. What I love about Christine is that she's not just a traditionally based therapist, but very spiritual. She's really helped me get out of my comfort zone and my little box. We need people like you, Christine.
Yeah, just a little expansion, you know.
I know you're also the founder of an alternative therapist community. Can you tell us more about what that is?
What it is a group of therapists and healers that we meet at a meetup once a month to talk about all different kinds of alternative therapies and actually also bring it into our businesses and look at how sometimes we have obstacles that kind of are subconscious that we don't even know exist and how we can heal those things just to be more successful in our lives.
Now, what's the difference between alternative therapy and traditional therapy?
Well, in traditional therapy, that's based on being a psychotherapist. It's more what we call clinical, where we diagnose people, we understand the different issues that come up with depression and anxiety. So we have a deep knowledge of all those parameters. And it's more talk therapy, but it's based on, you know, learning. I know a lot of communication skills and really being intuitive. But on the other end, the alternative end, that's where I've done, like you were saying, a little more spiritual work. I do a process called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, which is, they call it tapping, on, you know, East meets West, Eastern philosophy of working with the body and the meridian points, and then psychology. And then I have other things. Well,
what I really love about you is that you have that combination of Eastern and Western. So no matter where the clients are, you're able to meet them where they're at.
Yes, yes. More and more people now are looking for alternative ways. They want healthier eating. They're eating organic. They want to take yoga. They want to experience something and not go to the doctor all the time. And when I work with kids, you know, I have parents who don't want to medicate their kids. So they're looking for alternative ways, and it can also be done in psychology.
Well, people in today's society are wanting to understand and accept the word energy, I believe. And I think that emotion is an energy. So if you are a therapist or anyone having to do with the mental and emotional aspect of someone, you need to understand how that energy works. Now, I know that comes in the form of understanding the chakras and the Reiki energy and other forms of energy.
Right, right. And the energy shifts that happen in people, or the blockages in their energy field, all those things can be tracked to different experiences and cleared out. Yeah.
Now, I know you work with trauma and also children in helping them get through the trauma that may have even occurred in their birth or their past lives. So can you tell us maybe a case study that you've had to delve into that childhood trauma?
Yes, yes. There's a teenager that I'm working with now. She's 16, and she's being raised by her father and her stepmother. But she was born to a mother who used drugs and alcohol. And so she has a lot of addictive tendencies in her. And we've been working with her prenatal, because when her mother was carrying her, she was also using drugs. She was also using alcohol. And so she's been able to do the deeper unconscious work to really get that out and to be conscious and to really see the addictive patterns and be able to get rid of them, because we actually go into that experience. So she knows what's going on. I'm there for her, and it's safe, and it's a trusting environment. And then we did some tapping to tap out the experience, so it's not in her cells anymore, so to speak.
Well, that's really interesting. So you're talking about trauma that happened in the womb, something the mom did. I mean, so this isn't even something that her father could have even known about.
Right. He did not know at all the ramifications that went on. He didn't really understand it. And it's been a process of me teaching him about it, too.
Well, nowadays, we know how much the fetus is affected by substance and stress, and they can even hear what we're saying while they're in the womb. But let's just talk about substance abuse alone. I know of a time not far back when doctors were telling women that it was okay for them to smoke and drink while they're pregnant. And some were even told to continue smoking while they were in labor so it would calm and relax them. So I can't imagine the repercussion, if what you're saying is true, of what we're finding out now with those babies who are now full-fledged adults. I mean, how are those adults being affected by all of this?
Yeah, well, there's a kind of a numbing out that happens. I've worked with adults who have had that experience where their parent, the mother, smoked. And it's like they literally feel dizzy as the fetus. It numbs them out in their regular life because they get kind of in a daze. You know, it's kind of like when we go into shock. We just kind of shut down.
Nowadays, we know that we shouldn't be doing this while we're pregnant. So I would think statistically, I expect less moms to be doing this as opposed to, say, 20, 30, or even 40 years ago when it was the norm. So it sounds like you have a lifetime job, because you don't have to just help the kids. You've got a whole generation of adults who have experienced this trauma in the womb.
Absolutely. And I love to work with adults because I end up working with the family. It's a healing for the whole family.
Yeah, like you said, it's in the cell, which means it could affect the DNA. So if you're a parent and your mom smoked, drank, or even abused other substances while you were in utero, how are your children being affected by this? So then that leads me to the question, what are some of the challenges we're facing today with our teens? Because not only are we dealing with external circumstances, but we're also dealing with our own internal circumstances.
Well, there's a lot of challenges. And practically, what we see out there is that one of the big challenges is the digital age and all the teens being on social media, being on their games, being sort of more restrictive and not so communicative. And it's a challenge for parents when their kids don't want to talk because they need to talk to them. And then the social media issue, where I know what I've seen with kids is that these teenagers, they communicate by social media, but they do it in a risky way. So because, you know, their brains are not developed, and so they go, oh, I can do anything without any kind of parameters. And so they may post nude pictures to their boyfriend, or it goes viral. And they don't think of the consequences, because what they're really wanting is to be seen and heard, acknowledged, loved, have a boyfriend, have their friends like them. It's that all those teens want that feeling, but they're not doing it in a way that's appropriate. And this is upsetting to everybody and to parents alike.
You said some key points I want to acknowledge. You said they want to be loved and accepted. So then my question would be, why aren't they getting it in their home life? So what's going on that they're needing to get it from their boyfriend and the wrong sources like social media? Because I would think that if they were getting that love and acceptance, the safe kind, from their parents and in their family, then would the results be that they wouldn't be seeking it out from boyfriends, friends, and social media?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a big factor. I mean, I think parents love their kids, but I think there's sometimes issues that happen in the family. You know, there could be an alcoholic parent. There could be a divorce and really conflicting, and the kids are caught in the middle. They're having trauma because of that, and they're not having a way to express it, so they act out.
So what I'm hearing you say is that this social media stuff and the bullying and the sexuality may be more of a symptom because they're acting out to get something they're really missing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. They want that, quote, attention, but they don't know what that is. But they need it from their parents. They need it from their loved ones, their family members, their grandmothers, whoever, aunts and uncles.
Yeah.
And they almost need it more in teenage years. I know that sounds strange, but it's more challenging for them because they have a lot of pressures in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
That constant, I love you and I adore you, or I appreciate what you're doing, or I support you. It's almost they need it more than when they were in elementary school.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've all been teenagers, and I think that's the most confusing times. I mean, you're not an adult, but you're not a kid. You're expected to act like an adult, but then you don't get the privileges of an adult and you get treated like a kid. So it's a very confusing time. And if you don't have the loving support of someone at home, the loving support that's actionable, that you can see, because I think every parent loves their kids, but what are they doing that's showing that love? Action speaks louder than words.
Right. And I think we all as parents get triggered into our own childhood or teenage life. Just we're human, okay? And so something that upset us when we were kids and then our kids are doing maybe the same thing, it can just go, oh, what do we do with this? So we kind of have to also look at ourselves and how we're getting triggered. I call it being a little more conscious in our parenting. And taking responsibility for our own stuff.
You know,
just not always saying, oh, my kid's the problem. We're fallible. We're not perfect.
Yeah. Whenever you start pointing fingers and blaming someone else for whatever is going on with your children, it's a good sign you need to look at yourself. I mean, of course, this probably happens to a lot of parents because we think we know it all. And it can never be our issues or something cause. I mean, it has to be something someone else did or something someone else caused, right? But seriously, I mean, let's address that. If we are evolving into conscious parenting and being conscious parents, then how can we address those issues of social media and sexuality to our children confidently and really know that we're not coming from our stuff?
Well, I think the first step is to open the communication. And what I mean by that is, if you're seeing changes in your teen's behavior, like when you find this social media picture, or you find out that they're bullying or they've been bullied on cyberbullying or something, that's the time for a conversation. But that's also the time when the teen wants to shut down, doesn't want to talk about it, or will say to you, I don't know why I did it.
Yeah.
And so that's typical. But don't get mad at that. Just say, okay, that just means I need to do a different thing. So what I encourage parents to do is to try to stay off of the judgmental anger place and go to, okay, what's going on? And if your teen doesn't answer you, guess. Just say, you know, it seems like you are pulling away from me and we don't see you as much. You're in your room a lot and I missed you. And I really want to hear what's going on with you. I love you and I noticed that you're not hanging out with the same kids that you used to. And I wonder if you could tell me, I want to be part of your life. What's going on? And if they still won't talk to you, notice what the look on their face is. See if they start to look sad or maybe they're angry. So let them express it. Yeah, I'm angry. My friends are just like, oh, into drugs now and I can't hang out with them. So who am I going to have for friends? These are the pressures they're going through. So listen to them. That's really hard. How do you get new friends? But listening is done in a way where you're not telling them what to do. We, as parents, we always want to say, oh, here's what you can do about that. Make new friends. Well, that's not really where they're at. They're right now feeling very sad about a loss of a friendship. Because friendships change with teens. And it's hard to just sit and listen and be there for them.
Yeah.
In some of their pain.
Well, what would you say about parents who minimize or maybe discredit their children's feelings, like saying, oh, that's not so bad, or, well, things could be worse?
Yeah. Well, I think that sometimes becomes a generational thing. It's like they heard it from their parents and they heard it from their parents. And it's that parent wanting, being uncomfortable with the fact that they can't fix it. Mm-hmm. Because as parents, we want to say, okay, well, then the thing you could do is do more of this, mm-hmm. or that'll pass, and then you can do. We want it to be better, and so we want to give our kids some guidance, and we think that's the guidance. But I think what happens is that the teen starts to feel not heard.
Yeah.
And then they want to just disregard you, and so they blow you off.
Yeah.
Or they feel bad.
I know you work with teens a lot, so how do you help them?
Well, the first step for working with teens is to create a relationship. And that I do with really getting into their reality and not judging it. Hearing, they may say some things that they're very confidential. Nothing can be said outside the room. In other words, I tell them, I can't talk to your parents about what you tell me. This is all confidential. And so we start to build a trust. And so they tell me about things that they probably wouldn't tell somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that's a less than for the parent. It happened with my own daughter. She could talk sometimes a little more easily to her aunt than she could to me sometimes. Because sometimes we just need somebody else. And we're so close as a parent. That's why I think therapy is really important. And then I help them to express it because that's part of the lack of communication. I find a lot of kids these days don't even know how to communicate. So I have to give them the words. And then as I give them more words, what I mean by that, the guessing, like I talked about. And then when they go, oh yeah, that's how I feel, or that's how it is, then they start to open up a little bit more. And it takes a little time depending upon them. And then we look at if there have been any traumas in their past. I work with the parents too. What are some things that have happened that maybe have caused your kid to kind of shut down? Maybe they're not doing their homework or getting poor grades. Well, let's look at maybe something that's happened in the family.
So is that when you start involving the parents in while you're working with the teens?
Yeah, what I do is, it varies, but what I try to do is have the parents in to either talk with the teen when the teen is ready. So I provide a safe place for the teen to tell the parents something they've been afraid to tell them. Okay. Or I then maybe have the parent in to just give them some education about how to react to their kid. So I do a lot of practicing. And I also work with bringing in the parent and the teen to communicate with each other and to really learn how to do that, to interact with each other.
So what you're saying then is that it's a skill to be able to communicate and to learn how to interact with your children.
Yeah.
Effective communication isn't something you're born with. And I talk about this in my book, Itty Bitty Book on Family Leadership. Sometimes that word communication is tossed around so much, and really, communication may be about just opening your mouth and having words come out.
Yes.
But if you want to be effective in communicating, it's really a skill that you need to learn and a muscle you need to keep working on. Parents don't have these effective communication skills along with what I call their negative inappropriate emotional outbursts, I find that the teens and even the kids don't feel compelled or comfortable talking to their parents, and they close up. Do you find that to be true?
Yeah, they feel shut down or shut off by their parents. So then they don't want to talk. They don't feel it's going to do any good. Parents are, again, trying to do the best they know how, but they don't, like you say, they don't always have those skills. Sometimes our families, more families, don't have those skills. And so we just do what our parents did. Yeah, it takes getting in there and doing the work.
Yeah, and I don't believe there's a time where you're the best communicator or the best parent and you don't need to learn more. I mean, that actually is probably when you do need to learn more. I mean, even the best of the best have coaches and are taking classes to improve themselves. Every successful athletes, actors, business people are constantly practicing and learning from someone that is better than them so they can be better. So if you're a parent, then you need to be improving your communication skills, your emotional intelligence skills, your engagement skills, and you can get free information online. There's plenty of inexpensive classes, and if you can afford a coach or a therapist like Christine, then I would highly recommend it so you can learn the skills one-on-one.
Right. There's lots of ways. Absolutely.
I think there are parents out there who think that it's a right for them to be a parent. But I believe it's a privilege. And for you to have that privilege, you need to prove that you've earned it.
Right. It's a real commitment. And it's changing patterns of how we always do things. So changing patterns is, you know, it's tough. It's like changing your habits.
Yes, and I think it can be difficult if you feel like you're going through it alone or you're doing it alone. So I really encourage parents out there who feel like they are alone that they join a group. You can go to meetup.com to find something that is congruent with what you're going through and how you feel and what you would like out of it, or you can get active in your church group. You can even start your own support group. I mean, that's what I did. I started my own successful meetup group for single moms in the Los Angeles and South Bay area, and it's for those moms who feel like they're doing it all alone. And we've gotten together some amazing moms, and it feels really good. Like there are other people going through what I'm going through, and we've got each other's back. And we have a really good time getting together.
Yeah, I agree. And for those parents out there who are very consciously wanting to raise their children, who really want to learn from their mistakes and, you know, try new things, I applaud you, because it is a difficult time and we don't live like we used to when we were a village. I feel like we have to do it all, and that's even too much for us.
Well, so to get back to what we were talking about, will you give us some help on how we can get our kids to speak more openly with us about what's going on in their life and the choices they're confronted with?
Well, I think talking with them consistently. The consistency is important. They need to know you're not a one-time thing. You're going to talk to them when things are good and when things are not so good, not just when things are bad or when they got in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that's a sure way of getting nowhere with your child and building any kind of relationship if you only talk to them when things were bad.
I know. And do little things. I find that having conversations in the car while you're driving to some activity can be some of the most profound conversations. They're short, they're to the point, and there's something about the teen feels like, oh, this is only going to be short, so I can tell mom something really quick that I wouldn't usually tell her. It's kind of extraordinary.
Yeah.
So taking advantage of those things and having special time when you're not talking about anything important, just fooling around, having fun, doing stuff together where there's no pressure, enjoying each other, just relaxing and really building blocks to building that trust.
You know, I find that physical touch, like your arm over their shoulder or your hand on top of their hand or just sitting shoulder to shoulder next to them, it really seems to help when you're talking with someone, and it seems to be very soothing. This seems to work for friends, spouses, and your children. So there is something really magical about that physical touch.
Yeah, it's that connection. We all want connection. We want it on a physical, mental, emotional, all those levels, spiritual. We want connection. That's when we thrive. So yeah, that's really important to just hold your kid. I mean, I have parents that still snuggle with their teenagers watching TV on the couch.
It's actually ironic that you say that because my 12-year-old daughter and my 9-year-old son and I still do that. I call them my kitty cats because when we get on the couch, they start laying on me. They think it's so funny because they'll stretch out on top of me and we're like pretzels watching TV together and laughing. It's kind of now become our ritual and our little thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, you know, you talked earlier about conscious parenting. And for those parents who don't know what conscious parenting is, will you tell us some of the key points in being a conscious parent?
Well, looking at the broader picture of things. In other words, I'm always hearing from teens and parents how teens sometimes struggle in school because school is not fitting them. In other words, maybe their kid is very artistic and they're struggling in math. And so the parent feels really worried, oh, he's going to fail in math. But being conscious is saying, hey, is it really worth it? He's going to go to art school. So let's work about what his gifts are, what he's really good at. And because they're all, children are gifted. They're all gifted in some way. And so to bring out that, whatever that is that's good, that they're good at. And I think then there's also what we talked about, the really listening to them and trying to keep the judgment out of it. Not that you still don't have limits, you still need limits, they need boundaries. They have to have that for their sense of self. Being consistent about those boundaries and limits, not punishing, but firm, still need to be firm about things.
Yeah.
Just open to some things they may talk about that you think, oh, do we really have to talk about this? But listen to things that maybe be not very interesting to you, but they're interesting to them. Just being in their world a little bit more.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that the teens are very stressed out. Well, statistics show that the average teenagers of today have the same stress and anxiety level as a psychiatric patient in the 1950s. And I know that yoga and meditation have been scientifically proven to help relieve stress and anxiety, as well as so many other health benefits. I mean, you can just Google it and find out. So, Christine, my question to you is, how do you help the teens create this higher power or spiritual connection with themselves?
Well, I work with, especially with when a family is open to this and when the teen starts to be open to it, I work with connecting them with their guides. I believe that when you're born, you have guides and they're from the other side. They're just helping spirits. And what I do is I help them find their spirit guides. And I help them, I can do that with them. And then they create a kind of relationship. And what that means is they're just calling for help when they need it so that they don't feel alone. And I hear so many times from people that they remember when they were kids, these are adults, and they come back and they say, wow, I know I had an angel watching over me because I felt her, I sensed her, and it got me through some hard times. And so I help them connect with that piece.
Oh, that's awesome. It's like an intuitive side that they can trust within themselves.
Well, we're running out of time, but I want to talk about your two number one Amazon best-selling books. Now, the first one is an easy read. It's just 30 pages, I know. It's called Your Itty Bitty Communicating with Your Teenager book, 15 Steps to Creating a Better Relationship with Your Teen. Will you take a minute and tell us what the book is about and how it could help us parents?
Yeah, it's almost like a manual with examples of things that you could do to help your listening skills. So it's all outlined. There's even a little dialogue to help you learn how to do it. There's feeling words lists. So you're listening, you're expanding your vocabulary. There's things to avoid, like power struggles and what to do instead of those power struggles. Also learning about the developmental stages of a teen. that even in teenage years, you know, we have the tweens and then the teens, and then in all those developmental stages, the kids do different things. So it's giving you a short synopsis of that.
And I love the title of your second book, Wondrous Places of the Heart, Alternative Therapy with Children. I mean, I want my heart to be a wondrous place. So tell us about this book.
Okay, this book is also for parents, but it's written in with each chapter has a specific subject. So for instance, these are the kinds of issues that I've seen in therapy over the years. And in each chapter, like let's say there's a chapter on self-esteem, and there's a chapter on sexual abuse, and there's a chapter on dyslexia. There's chapters that have specific themes to them. It gives you definitions, it gives you things to look for in your child. Each chapter has communication techniques.
It's like an encyclopedia.
Well, actually, it's a link where I have self-care for parents of teenagers. And so there's many ideas of what to do to help you in your own self-care as a parent. And then I have an MP3 that takes you through kind of a meditation to help you to feel calm, to get ready for these conversations that you're going to have with your teen. And that can help you really kind of start walking you through creating, like you said earlier, an energy. And you're really available for your teen. So it's not only self-care, it's for your relationship with your teen.
Oh, okay. That's great. So you can find more about Christine on her webpage. It's called peacethroughmetamorphosis.com. All of the information are in the show notes under her picture and bio. You also find the link to her gift to you. So please check out her website. Follow her on Facebook. It's on the show notes. Tweet her on Twitter. Download her MP3 file gift to you. And anything else, Christine?
I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. And I just support you and the beautiful work that you're doing with this radio show and supporting all those parents out there that are listening. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, parent. And until next time, have a wonderful week.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows, which are featured on missions.radio.org. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured on missionsradio.org. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.